for being such a gracious, wonderful, merciful Savior. We pray right now that you would be in the services tonight in a very special way. Speak to our hearts, change our lives, mold our actions according to thy will. And we just pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Turn to John chapter 14. We've gone through verse 12 the other day. I want to start in verse 13. That is John 14, verse 13. And, you know, when you see verses like this, you have organizations that we would call name it and claim it. You basically tell God what to do. And it really doesn't work that way. It's just a misunderstanding of Scripture. In verse 13, it says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So, you know, there are stipulations there. If it doesn't glorify the Father, it's not going to be done. You ask in His name, but of course you do everything in Jesus' name. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. That's why we say, "In the name of thy Son, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior." You know, we frequently end our prayers that way because we are asking in His name. But as important as that is, all of you are familiar, most of you are, with Psalm 138, verse 2, the fact that God has magnified His Word above His name. Now, why is that so important? Because a person's name is only as good as their word. If your word is not something that can be trusted upon, then your name is no good. A lot of people have lost their reputation because their character lacked, their name lacked, and because their word lacked. You know, people couldn't trust them. It used to be you could have a handshake and that was your bond, but not anymore. I've done some deals with people, and you know, God takes care of me one way or another. But you know, crooked as a dog's hind leg, you'd say. And you know, it hurts. But then I look and see what happens later on. And my big thing is, I just have to make sure I don't rejoice when you see thy enemy fall. And they aren't my enemy; they're just people that make decisions that are not according to the will of God, and they talk the spiritual talk and all that stuff that makes you want to regurgitate. I was thinking of another word, but it wasn't as nice. And, you know, but you just move on. You're supposed to pray for them. I'll tell you what I do. I pray for them. Verse 14, it says, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Well, you know, I'd like to fly to the moon with my wings. You know, I can't do that. So there are limitations. It's ridiculous to think that there aren't limitations in this statement that you can say, "Well, I can ask anything." Well, the anything has to do with, it has to be within the will of God, because that's the context of the Bible. The Bible doesn't say, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, the modern versions change that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's not what it says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things which strengtheneth me through Christ. What's the difference? If it strengthens you, I can do all things. If it makes you a better Christian, a better child of God, I can do all things which strengthen me through Christ. I can't do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But that's what the modern versions change that to. And that's why it's so important to stick with the Bible. So when you're looking at these two verses again, both of them say, "In my name." Therefore, the emphasis is in the name of Jesus. You ask in my name. You ask anything in my name, I will do it within His authority. He has the authority to do it. God the Father gave God the Son the authority to answer those prayer requests according to His will. He says in verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." That doesn't just mean the Ten Commandments. It doesn't mean keep the Sabbath holy, because, you know, that all the holy days and special days are nailed to the cross. There is no Sabbath today. We're not under the Sabbath. The Sabbath's the seventh day of the week. It's Saturday. It's Jewish. It's Israel. It has nothing to do with the church. So that isn't what he's talking about. If you love me, keep my commandments. What's his, you know, commandments? Well, there's two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and spirit, and so on. And then love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you realize that if those two commandments alone, which is what the whole law is precipitated upon, if those two things were done by the world today, this would be a totally different world. It's not a totally different world. It's a world that the worldly system creates because people have turned away from God. Why do we have problems in school? 1963, the Supreme Court, the Earl Court, went in there and just no precedent whatsoever said this is what, you know, this is how the Constitution reads. You're telling me that the founding fathers believed the Bible shouldn't be in school? Look at every institution started. It was almost always started in relation to Jesus Christ. And the Constitution was written that way? No, they're revising it. Then once they've revised it, you can't hardly undo it. It's like Roe versus Wade. Pretty hard to undo the damage that was done. And if you study the history on that, it's an amazing thing too. But look at chapter 21 of John, and look at these questions given to Peter. And you know, he's talking about love. Talking about love in relation to the individuals, love to God. And Jesus, standing there in verse 15, he says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Probably a pile of dead fish there. And he says, "Loveth me more than these." Or he's, you know, but verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." First time, "Feed my lamb." Now, "Feed my sheep." 17. He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He said it three times, "Lovest thou me?" Same context each time. And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." So he asked him three times. Remember that Peter rejected the Lord how many times? Three. So it could be in relation to those three, he says three times, "Lovest thou me?" Going back to chapter 14. "So if you love me, keep my commandments." Now you'll see that here in verse 15. You'll see it in verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, will manifest myself to him." By the way, that's the title of my message. If you love the Lord, he'll manifest himself unto you. It may be that God doesn't manifest himself to those that don't love him, according to that verse. And we'll get to it here in a minute. You'll see it again in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." You'll see it again in verse 24. "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." You'll see it again in chapter 15, verse 10. If you want to look over there, it could be just across the page. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Almost like it's a if this, then this. You know, in other words, it's not given. I mean, it's conditional. So if it's conditional, we better look at the conditions. Listen, okay, I'm saved. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. Everything else doesn't matter." Well, sure it does. Of course it matters. I mean, you're going to stand before God one day and you're going to be accountable for the life that you live. You say, well, I thought my sin's forgiven. It's forgiven. Your sin affects your work and your work will be tried. It'll either be burned up or you'll receive a reward. Simple as that. But to think that somehow that reward really doesn't matter, that's ridiculous to think that. For all eternity, how you live your life here will determine how you spend all eternity. Imagine that. You can't wrap your head around it because we think much more on this level of the here and now. I don't care who you are. You think like I do, and we all do. We think about the here and now more than the future and eternity, because we can't, it's hard to conceptualize eternity. So what I'm telling you is that conditional thing is important to get. So we'll look at it when we get down to those verses in a minute. Verse 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. What does another mean? Well, Lord's the comforter. He's leaving. He's going to give another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible says in Hebrews, you're sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Ghost. That's the comforter. The comforter is the Spirit of truth. He is the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells you that within the context. But he's another comforter. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. So who is the comforter? He's the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So see, he's not living in them yet. We're so fortunate in that we have the Spirit of God living in us the moment we get saved. That's an amazing thing. 1 Corinthians 3:16 talks about the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Look at chapter 20, John chapter 20, and let's get clarification on this because I think it's important to understand. Verse 21, John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Why would he do that? He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They did not, and think about Acts chapter 2 and the baptism of the Holy Ghost there in Acts chapter 2. In other words, this is a transitional time before the cross. He says it right here. He says, he dwelleth with you, verse 17, and shall be in you. That's important to understand that distinction. That's why we rightly divide the word of truth. You wonder, well, how could Peter be with the Lord for 3.5 years and then just say, hey, I go a fishing, I'm throwing in the towel, I quit. You never quit, right? Well, you got the Spirit of God living in you. He didn't. How could he reject the Lord after saying he would have died for him just shortly before that? You got more power in you than he had in him. He was with him, but he wasn't in him. Verse 18. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Isn't that great? He says, I won't leave you comfortless. Listen, if you're comfortless, that means you have no comfort. I just thought I'd say that since we need to define so much today. Comfortless means you have less comfort than what you can have. But it's because of us. You look at the chapter, I think Brother Boger preached on that, on comfort, one of my favorite chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us with the comfort wherewith we can comfort others, with the comfort wherewith we're comforted with. I didn't exactly the quote, I just butchered it. But point being, we're comforted so we can comfort other people. Are you a terrible comforter or a good comforter? You think about it, we were out the other day at Cracker Barrel, and Judy says, look at this purple comforter. I said, looks nice. Do we need it? No. I said, let's go. Man, it was pretty. Judy said it was pretty. So you know what I think? I think she's right. I didn't think it was pretty. I care less. But I was like, you know, it was a comforter. I you know, you ever get one of those? I wrap up my robe. If you ever come over, you might find me in my robe, especially if I have something cold to drink. Like we have milkshakes with our diet that I'm butchering right now, not doing well. It's tough to get back on it. And man, I drank one of those. I drank one about 3 hours ago, and man, I was like, whoa! I went back there and I got that, you know, that robe on. That's my comforter. But listen, I got a better comforter than that, obviously. But he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Isn't that great? I mean, Jesus is not walking on this earth, but you know what he promised them? I'm not going to leave you comfortless because I'm going to send you a comforter. He sent it to us. Man, I like that. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. How do they see him? Through faith in the revelation of the Word of God. Or I should say, the illumination of the Word of God. Verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Isn't that amazing? He said, I'm in my Father. The Father and the Son are one. I'm in my Father. You're in me, and I in you. Boy, that's as good as it gets. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Is it conditional? And I will love him and will manifest myself to them. You say, well, I thought God loves me anyway. He does, but here's the caveat. Here's the caveat, and I just got this. Look at the verse again. He says, he that keepeth my... let's do it again. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So the only way you love God is to keep his commandments. Conditional. Okay? He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And it continues. How will he be loved of the Father? And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Maybe God shows his love through his manifestation. The more you see God in life, the more you see God in your life, the greater the manifestation, the more you understand the love of God. You know why people don't understand God? Is because he's not manifest to them. You know why he's not manifest to them? Because they don't live for him. They don't keep his commandments. And again, we're not talking about putting yourself under the law. We're not under the law. We're talking about keeping the commandments. Look at what the Bible says. Love God, love your neighbor. All the law is fulfilled in those two commandments. So what are the two commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. You know what think about it. You ever meet anybody that doesn't love their neighbor? Oh yeah, but they can talk the talk. They don't love their neighbor. God doesn't manifest himself unto them. And they're sitting here going, well, I know God and I know what he's like. And no, you know nothing. You know nothing. If you don't know, if he's not manifested to you, it's because you don't love him the way you're supposed to. And loving others is a big part of that. So let's look at, so he says in here, he says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. You know, in Revelation 1:11, it says, every eye shall see him. But that's yet future. In Zechariah 12:10, the Bible says they will look upon him whom they pierced. So the world's going to see him one day. And then we know in Revelation 19:11, the Bible says he's going to come back on a white horse. Every eye shall see him, and they're going to look upon the one that they pierced. See, that's what the Bible says. So it all fits together. Listen, the world doesn't see him now. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I remember a guy that butchered this over and over and over again. Somebody came up to me and they said, why don't you go tell him? And I said, well, it's just not my responsibility. I can't fix everything. You get yourself in the middle of it. And people have a tendency to turn on you. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And they go, see? Man, you can't know it. All those things God's prepared for you, can't even imagine it. But that's not what the Bible says. Look at verse 10, the next word, what is it? But changes the whole context. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now remember what we're looking at here, the conditional nature of it. So what does verse 9 end with? These words, for them that love Him. But those that love Him, God hath revealed them unto us. Why is the world in such... why is Christianity in such a mess? People don't love God. God doesn't manifest Himself to them. And then they're just spinning around in circles because they don't know God. If you don't know God, you don't know what to do in life. It's a self-compounding problem. But it's not God's problem. It's not God's fault because He says, love me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, I'll manifest myself unto you. If you love me, I'll reveal myself to you. If you want the revelation of God in your life, love Him. That's it. I just solved all the problems in the world. I really did. I solved all the problems in the world right there and solved nothing because the world's not listening to that. The world doesn't care about that. Christianity really doesn't care about that. We need to find out how to love God. Okay? How you love God? You love your neighbor. Keep His commandments. What are His two commandments? Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, body. Love your neighbor as yourself. Husbands, love your wives. I mean, you could, listen, you could go through and look at all those scripture and they all go back to that thing. There's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look there. This one amazes me because, you know, you listen to people talk and it's funny, I was studying this the other day, I think it was Monday, and I noticed 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Listen, you're worthless. He says, if I have not charity, I'm like a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Verse 2 goes on again. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So in the first one, I become a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Now it says, I am nothing. What's nothing? That's a zero with a zero rubbed out. That's nothing. So you can have all faith, but if you don't have charity, you're nothing. Verse 3, again, I saw this outline the other day. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's how come you know charity, that's not the charity. Charity is the epitome of love. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Boy, that sounds like you're really dedicated there. William Tyndale, you know, he says, open up the King of England's eyes. He was burned at the stake. He says, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You can die for the cause of Christ. If you don't have charity, it profiteth you nothing. You have not charity, I am nothing. So what's our problem? Our problem is people do not think that loving others is one of the most important things in Christianity. Love your enemies, he says. I can't even love my friends. That's how most people are. How can I love my enemy? Some people have an easier time loving their enemy than they do the people that they're supposed to love the most. Because we're skewed in our concepts. We don't understand what love is. What is love? For God so loved the world that He gave. So what is love? Here's the simple definition. Giving. Not just moolah on the plate. That's an expression of love. What love is giving of yourself. When you give your time to somebody else, you are expressing your love. And that's what love is. When I went to church to find a wife, it took 8 years before I got married because I told my wife before she was my wife, I didn't know what love was. Is it that, you know, your little grumbling stomach? I could be hungry. Could have eaten the wrong thing. Could have eaten the Jif peanut butter. You know what I mean? By the way, ours was recalled too. You better check your Jif. We bought it a year and a half ago, and it was recalled. That's how long Jif lasts. I mean, they put stuff in there that'll make it stay forever. Except salmonella doesn't work real well with your stomach. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8:28, very familiar passage. But again, it's taken out of context. I remember when Trey Gowdy was here, he quoted this verse. He says, I just can't see, because he was a prosecutor, I can't see how all things work together for good. I mean, he struggled with that because he saw the worst of the worst. He put people on death row. That's how bad some of his cases were. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. First of all, you've got to be called according to His purpose. We're all called, but are you called according to His purpose? Number two, them that love God. See, it doesn't work together for everybody without stipulation. So if you want that verse to apply to your life, love God. Otherwise, you don't get it. You can't name it, claim it, and say, well, everything's going to work together. Listen, I have had bad things happen in my life, and I watched them work together with other things for good. The thing itself is bad. Another thing itself is bad. Another thing itself is bad. But when you look at it working together for good, then you start realizing God's in the thing and He can turn around the worst situation into something that's good. Right? All you've got to do is figure out how to love God. And you love God by giving yourself to Him. That's what you do. Let's go back to chapter 14 of John. He said He'll manifest Himself to those that love Him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot. Now, I don't know about you, but boy, I'd have gone to the Just the Peace and I'd have said, my name's Judas and I need to change it. You know, man, I can't keep this name for any longer. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? Well, that's an easy answer. Jesus saith unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Again, it's a stipulation. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Is it the presence of God in your life? Is it conditional? Sure sounds like it to me. I said the presence. The Spirit of God will never... You're sealed until the day of redemption. But just because you're sealed, I'm sealed, and so-and-so's sealed, doesn't mean we all got an equality in the eyes of God. You want Him manifest in your life? Love Him. You want His abode with you? Love Him. The Spirit of God is never going to leave you. He's the comforter. He will comfort you in your worst situations, but why do you have to go through some of the worst situations? Maybe because we can't claim, you know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. The only way it works together is if you love God. So again, I want you to see the conditional nature of these promises. And they've been abused and abused and abused again. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So what is it? If you don't keep God's sayings, why? Because you don't love him. Now think about that. Can you think, man, I go down here to some other church and I go, listen, problem is you all don't love him because you don't keep his sayings. They're going to look at me and say, well, we're not going to have you back, buddy. But truth is truth. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to say anything except for what the Bible says. Let me just quote the scripture. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Colon. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. That's his authority. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost. So when you think about the Holy Ghost, it's the Comforter. That's why I call him the Holy Ghost. Very rarely does the Bible say Holy Spirit, and only one time is it capitalized. Holy and Spirit. It's generally Holy Ghost. And why is it so important? Because if you give up the ghost, you die. Life. When the Holy Ghost comes in, life comes in. Why do you think we got Casper the Friendly Ghost? To mock the Bible. Why is John such a prominent figure in the Bible and they call a toilet a what? A John. And I could go through and give you example after example after example where they've done that, and what it is a mockery of God, because people giggle when you say things. Like you talk about a donkey. What's he called in the Bible? That's the word. When you say it, oh, you know, everybody wants, it's a mockery of the Bible. Why is it that the word gaze in the Bible has nothing to do with what has been hijacked? Because it's in the Bible and it's a mockery. What about that multicolored thing that God said, I'd put it in the sky, not because I want you to sin, but just to show you that because of sin, I'm not going to destroy the earth with water again. The rainbow. Hijacked. And I could go on and on and on and on, and the point is, it's like using the name Jesus Christ, and people laugh at it because they put it into the Hollywood puts it in at just the prime time to build people up, and then bam, they hit that word and everybody just bursts out in laughter. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. Let's see what it says about the Comforter. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, we already looked at that, which proceedeth from me, from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now all this foolishness of listen, I don't say, oh, you know, I don't talk to and pray to the Holy Spirit. Because he does not magnify himself, he magnifies the Son. He testifies of the Son. All of this emphasis upon the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, what it is a distraction. It's a feel-good thing. We need our focus on the things of God. Our focus is to be on Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Savior of the world. And if we keep our focus there, then we won't be out of balance. We won't be confused. We won't be led astray. The Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, he says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, see that again, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's pretty interesting, because when you look at it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, were written much after the time, and these guys didn't have better memories than any of us necessarily. So what did he do? He brought all things to remembrance to them. So they would pen the Scripture the way that he wanted it penned. It was settled in heaven, but it wasn't settled on earth. He brought it down to earth and gave it to man. And we have the perfect Word of God. He promised to preserve it. The key is, where do you find it? I know where to find it. I got it right here. Every word of God is pure. I have every word, every promise, and if you give me one problem that I can't answer, I'm going to believe the Bible more than I'm going to believe my thought process that makes me want to doubt it. By the way, my thought process doesn't even doubt it anymore. I did. Around the end of 1980, I was presented a problem from a Mormon. He showed me in his book. He says, errors in the King James Bible. There it is. They heard a voice. Over here it says they didn't hear the voice. I came back to these guys in this church here. I said, you guys told me that Bible's perfect, but look at this right here. Acts 9, it says they heard a voice. And then in Acts 22, it says they didn't hear the voice of God. And it's just Paul retelling the story. I said, what's the answer? They said, well, you see that word and the? I said, yeah. They said, it's two different words. I said, duh, and the, duh. You know, I was upset. I wasn't that upset. I don't remember what it was like. You just make this stuff up. I'm an evangelist for a long time. Debbie's like, what? I just made all that. Well, I didn't make that up. I made how I responded up. They heard a voice. Do you hear a voice? If you can't recognize my voice, like let's say there's somebody out there and they go, hey, do you hear a voice? Oh, yeah, I hear a voice. They say, you hear the voice of the pastor? I don't know who your pastor is. So do they hear a voice? Do they hear the voice of God? That's how it worked. I'll tell you what happened. The devil tried to destroy me on that thing, and instead, God used it to where I never, ever, once again, never, ever questioned the Bible. Never. Why? Because I knew that was an error. I knew they didn't tell me the truth. I knew. I mean, the devil was so much in that thing saying, man, look, you can't trust that. They told you it's perfect. It's not perfect. And I took it hook, line, and sinker. They showed me the answer, and I went, I didn't know. I found out that I would never question it again, and that which God, the devil meant for bad, God used for His glory. Hey, what's the Bible say? All things work together for good. Was the fact that I was lied to by a Mormon who had the best of intentions, maybe, good? No. What about the outcome? Yes. All things work together for good. But the event itself was bad. To them that love God, fortunately, I believe I loved God at the time. And I hope I still love Him today. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in the services. Thank you for a wonderful Sunday, you know, with the baptism and the soul saved and people joining the church. Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to bless this church in a mighty way. Lord, we need you. We love you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed, music plays.